The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Part 2, The Yoga of Integral Knowledge. Continuation of Chapter 26, Samadhi, page 523. The experiences of the dream state are infinitely various. For not only has it sovereign possession of the usual mental powers, reasoning, discrimination, will, imagination, and can use them in whatever way, on whatever subject, for whatever purpose it pleases, but it is able to establish connection with all the worlds to which it has natural access, or to which it chooses to acquire access, from the physical to the higher mental worlds. This it does by various means open to the subtlety, flexibility, and comprehensive movement of this internalized mind liberated from the narrow limitations of the physical outward-going senses. It is able first to take cognizance of all things, whether in the material world or upon other planes, by aid of perceptible images, not only images of things visible, but of sounds, touch, smell, taste, movement, action, of all that makes itself sensible to the mind and its organs. For the mind in samadhi has access to the inner space called sometimes the chidakasha, to depths of more and more subtle ether, which are heavily curtained from the physical sense by the grosser ether of the material universe. And all things sensible, whether in the material world or any other, create reconstituting vibrations, sensible echoes, reproductions, recurrent images of themselves, which that subtler ether receives and retains. It is this which explains many of the phenomena of clairvoyance, clairaudience, etc., for these phenomena are only the exceptional admission of the waking mentality into a sensitiveness to what might be called the image memory of the subtle ether, by which not only the signs of all things past and present, but even those of things future can be seized. For things future are already accomplished to knowledge and vision on higher planes of mind, and their images can be reflected upon mind in the present. But these things which are exceptional to the waking mentality, difficult and to be perceived only by the possession of a special power, or else after assiduous training, are natural to the dream state of trance consciousness, in which the subliminal mind is free. And that mind can also take cognizance of things on various planes, not only by these sensible images, but by a species of thought perception or of thought reception and impression analogous to that phenomenon of consciousness, which in modern psychical science has been given the name of telepathy. But the powers of the dream state do not end here. It can, by a sort of projection of ourselves, in a subtle form of the mental body, actually enter into other planes and worlds, or into distant places and scenes of this world, move among them with a sort of bodily presence, and bring back the direct experience of their scenes and truths and occurrences. It may even project actually the mental or vital body for the same purpose and travel in it, leaving the physical body in a profoundest trance without sign of life until its return. The greatest value of the dream state of samadhi lies, however, not in these more outward things, but in its power to open up easily higher ranges and powers of thought, emotion, will, by which the soul grows in height, range, and self-mastery. Especially, withdrawing from the distraction of sensible things, it can, in a perfect power of concentrated self-seclusion, prepare itself by a free reasoning, thought, discrimination, or, more intimately, more finally, by an ever deeper vision and identification for access to the divine, the supreme self, the transcendent truth, both in its principles and powers and manifestations and in its highest original being. Or it can, by an absorbed inner joy and emotion, as in a sealed and secluded chamber of the soul, prepare itself for the delight of union with the divine beloved, the master of all bliss, rapture, and ananda. For the integral yoga, this method of samadhi may seem to have the disadvantage that when it ceases, the thread is broken, and the soul returns into the distraction and imperfection of the outward life, with only such an elevating effect upon that outer life as the general memory of these deeper experiences may produce. But this gulf, this break, is not inevitable. In the first place, it is only in the untrained psychic being that the experiences of the trance are a blank to the waking mind. As it becomes the master of its samadhi, it is able to pass without any gulf of oblivion from the inner to the outer waking. Secondly, when this has been once done, what is attained in the inner state becomes easier to acquire by the waking consciousness and to turn into the normal experience, powers, mental status of the waking life. The subtle mind, which is normally eclipsed by the insistence of the physical being, becomes powerful even in the waking state, until even there the enlarging man is able to live in his several subtle bodies as well as in his physical body, to be aware of them and in them, to use their senses, faculties, powers, to dwell in possession of supraphysical truth, consciousness, and experience. The sleep state ascends to a higher power of being. Beyond thought into pure consciousness, beyond emotion into pure bliss, beyond will into pure mastery. It is the gate of union with the supreme state of Satchidananda, out of which all the activities of the world are born. But here we must take care to avoid the pitfalls of symbolic language. The use of the words dream and sleep for these higher states is nothing but an image drawn from the experience of the normal physical mind with regard to planes in which it is not at home. It is not the truth that the self in the third status, called perfect sleep, sushupti, is in a state of slumber. The sleep self is, on the contrary, described as prajna, the master of wisdom and knowledge, self of the gnosis, and as Ishwara, the lord of being. To the physical mind, asleep, it is to our wider and subtler consciousness a greater waking. To the normal mind, all that exceeds its normal experience but still comes into its scope seems a dream. But at the point where it borders on things quite beyond its scope, it can no longer see truth, even as in a dream, but passes into the blank incomprehension and non-reception of slumber. This borderline varies with the power of the individual consciousness, with the degree and height of its enlightenment and awakening. The line may be pushed up higher and higher until it may pass even beyond the mind. Normally, indeed, the human mind cannot be awake, even with the inner waking of trance, on the supramental levels. But this disability can be overcome. Awake on these levels, the soul becomes master of the ranges of Gnostic thought, Gnostic will, Gnostic delight, and if it can do this in samadhi, it may carry its memory of experience and its power of experience over into the waking state. Even on the yet higher level open to us, that of the Ananda, the awakened soul may become similarly possessed of the bliss self, both in its concentration and in its cosmic comprehension. But still, there may be ranges above from which it can bring back no memory except that which says, somehow, indescribably, I was in bliss. The bliss of an unconditioned existence, beyond all potentiality of expression by thought or description by image or feature. Even the sense of being may disappear in an experience in which the word existence loses its sense, and the Buddhistic symbol of nirvana seems alone and sovereignly justified. However high the power of awakening goes, there seems to be a beyond in which the image of sleep, of sushupti, will still find its application. Such is the principle of the yogic trance samadhi. Into its complex phenomena, we need not now enter. It is sufficient to note its double utility in the integral yoga. It is true that up to a point difficult to define or delimit, almost all that samadhi can give can be acquired without recourse to samadhi. But still, there are certain heights of spiritual and psychic experience of which the direct, as opposed to a reflecting experience, can only be acquired deeply and in its fullness by means of the yogic trance. And even for that which can be otherwise acquired, it offers a ready means, a facility, which becomes more helpful, if not indispensable, the higher and more difficult of access become the planes on which the heightened spiritual experience is sought. Once attained there, it has to be brought as much as possible into the waking consciousness. For in a yoga which embraces all life completely and without reserve, the full use of samadhi comes only when its gains can be made the normal possession and experience for an integral waking of the embodied soul in the human being. End of chapter 26, Samadhi, page 527.